Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to read from verse 11. And do this, all the things Paul's been talking about, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It's a fabulous passage about the fact that Jesus is the light and we're to put him on. He is the armour of light, and to live as children of light. Now, I don't know whether this is a window into the church in Rome, that it was a church full of orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and so on, or whether it was making a point about the contrast that the church must be with the world around. But I was just reflecting on the Advent Collect and on this passage, and I thought, well, which bit of this is relevant to us? St. Paul's is not known as a place of orgy and drunkenness, as far as I'm aware, nor known as a place of sexual immorality and debauchery, not known as a place of dissension and jealousy. But if there's a danger in a church, the word dissension is talking about an unhealthy disagreement rather than a healthy disagreement. So in every family, there's healthy disagreement. And in some families, there's unhealthy disagreement. And as we come to think about reordering, where we all have different ideas about what would the best use of the building would be, there is lots of healthy disagreement. That's good and proper and healthy and right. And it's only as we share all that and speak the truth in love that we'll get through to the right thing, as it is with musical styles and the budgets and all the rest of the stuff. Dissension, which is probably of this list the one that's probably most a danger for all of us, is where we do our disagreement in an unhealthy way. So it actually, we disagree in a way that breaks down relationship. So we are to be in good relationship with each other, loving each other, such that we can disagree. Well, I think, oh, I'm not sure that's a good idea. I think this might be a good idea. And we can disagree those things in good relationship. Now, sometimes we get to the place where we're frightened of saying what we're thinking because we don't want to rock the boat and we don't want to sort of rock the unity of the church. Now, if that's the case, then the unity probably isn't good enough. It's not deep enough. Soon after I arrived here, we had an issue on the table about baptism of children and communion and baptizing children. And a couple of people advised me, oh, don't have a discussion in PCC about that. There'll be blood on the carpet, was the phrase used. I thought, well, that's fairly sad. I don't believe that for a start. But actually, if we can't have a discussion about baptism and children and communion in love, then the unity we have wasn't deep enough. We need to have a unity that's robust, that we can talk about these things. Now, I say this partly because this is always an issue in the life of a church, and particularly in a bigger church, where there's more loads going on and where we can't be in deep relationship with everybody. But also when it comes to something like what we do to the building, this affects all of us. So even before I lead us into how I'd like us to pray tonight, I'd just like us to pray that whatever we do to this building, whatever we decide, whatever time we decide to do it, that folks are given the ability by the Lord to speak the truth as they see it in love. So we can have strong enough relationships with each other that we can disagree about what the right thing to do is, such that the Lord leads us to what he's calling. So I know what I want to happen. I'm sure you know what you want to happen. Some of you may not mind what happens, so long as we all get on. We'll all have different perspectives. But would you just pray quietly for a moment that St. Paul's would never be, at this stage or at any stage in the future, a place of dissension over this or any other issue, that we'd be able to speak the truth in love and have a robust unity. Let's pray that quietly. Lord, we pray that you would send your Spirit on our church day by day, that we would be able to model to the world around us what it is to be a new community, community full of different people, different ages, different life stages, different temperaments and abilities, who see things differently and yet have found a way of living together with a really attractive unity. And we pray that this would stand out to the world around us as light in a dark place, in a place where so many disagree so violently over different things, that we would model how to love each other and speak the truth in love. And that in every issue we face, and particularly now as we begin to think about what we might do to the building, that we would have a deep unity, and that whatever we do, you will lead us to in your time, such that it draws us into a deeper unity with each other and not in any way to fracture it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So now, as we think into this this area, what I thought we were going to be doing tonight is not what we're going to be doing tonight. Because through the conversations that have been going on over the last month or two, some of them in the three meetings I called, some of them in other meetings, some of them with the way the reordering group has been working out that what we're proposing to happen in here has a knock-on effect back into the lounge and the kitchens and so on, some of them through the fact that folks who are here in the week a lot say it's far more urgent that we do the toilets and so on, which may or may not be right. What we talked about at PCC on Monday night was that this may be the time to have a new look at the building as a whole and not just in this area. And I want to explain how we've got to that stage. And having explained that, I then want us to spend some time listening to the Lord quietly. And we're going to take some time, going to give everyone a piece of paper and a pencil to jot down anything they think the Lord may be saying, any pictures or words or thoughts that come, such that we're really trying to, the whole process is about trying to go at the Lord's time. Now, the danger with that, as someone said to me yesterday, was that we're trying to discern what the Lord's will is. That's right. The danger is that if we find we're in disagreement with that, we don't want to be seen to be going against the Lord. So we often keep quiet about it, but then have the car park conversations about how silly it all is. So we have to find a way of seeking the Lord's will in such a way as everyone gets their say into this. And actually, as we've been listening, and I'm happy to say I've changed my opinion on how much we should do at this stage, and the PCC's come to a different mind on Monday night from where we were a few months ago, that we think it's probably time to have a fresh look at the whole lot. But that's what we're going to ask you to pray into, whether we think that's right or not. Okay? So that's where we're going tonight. Let me explain how we got there. What we want to do is to carry on and develop for the next generation, the next stage, what's been going on in the previous generations. So some of you will know this wonderful plaque over here, to the praise of God, who by his grace enabled his servant, the Reverend Thomas Bromley, the vicar of St. Mary's, Leamington, in the 1850s, 60s and 70s, faithfully to preach the gospel of Christ, and in earnest desire for the spiritual welfare of this part of St. Mary's parish, with the generous help of many friends, to build this church and constitute St. Paul's a separate ecclesiastical parish, that the word of life may here be made known to future generations for the glory of the Saviour, the blessing of his church. And so it goes on. That's why this church was built. 1873, foundation stone and dedication. I think 1874, Ascension Day, first service, I think it was, something like that. We thank God for the people who had the vision to put up this great thing. I've just been meeting with Gerald as one of our wardens and one of the wardens of St. Mary's, and thanking them. Of course, they're our mother church again. We thank God for them. Now, of course, down the years, each generation makes its mark on the building. And in Norman Warren's day, there was a dais put out here. It's not quite exactly the same one we're on now. But then the big major reordering that many of you lived through around 1980 or so roughly 30 years ago, in Andrew Dowell's day as vicar, and with a reordering team that did a huge amount of work, transformed this building. How many of you here tonight were here in that time? Okay? If you want, Jonty may not remember all of it in great detail, But we're sure you brought lots of light relief by your giggles and smiles to those who are weighed down by the pressures of how to reorder at the time. I want to encourage those of you who weren't here at that time to talk to those who were and get the story. I've been doing that steadily over 10 years I've been here. And we will make sure that at some stage next year that story is told corporately. It is the most extraordinary story. Just picture it, if you can, of the pews going all the way right to the back. There was no balcony there. Everything was different. The walls were dark, the lights were dingy. Jonty will remember it well. And a massive reordering that's done that's released all sorts of mission and ministry going on today that the people who planned it 30 years ago couldn't have dreamed that we'd be doing now. The world's changed so much. What I didn't know until listening to the story again recently was that before that reordering, the biggest gift day St. Paul's had had was £5,000, which was still a lot of money back then. The reordering was £250,000, around 250. That's 50 times the size of a gift day. That is a massive sea change. Now, the biggest gift day we've had here as a normal gift day is 50,000, though we did have a 90,000 one when we were in danger of running out of money 4 years ago. Some of you remember when the roofs were falling in and we were doing the work to Leicester Street. So 90,000 is the biggest one-off we've had in recent days, 50,000. If we were to go 50 times 50,000, that's an awful lot of money. You know, what's that? 2.5 million or something like that. It's a sea change. And in that time, of course, not only was the building transformed, but it transformed the faith and unity of the congregation. Now, I dare say there were a certain amount of disagreements. There was the possibility of dissension, and all. But obviously, when it was done, folks could see what a wonderful thing it was, and the unity and the step in faith has, as it were, given a platform to the ministry that's happened over the last generation in this place, and we thank God for it. And what we're proposing is developing and building on that, and it's in continuity. So, for example, and this is just a for example, at that time, I know it was decided not to go for chairs rather than pews, though I know that was discussed. But to enable a future generation to do it, if that was right, the floor was levelled, because the floor didn't used to be level. It used to step up into the pews. So that may be, and it may well be, that now is the time. It may not be. That's one of the things we'll pray into as well. I want it to be seen, whatever we're doing, is in continuity. I was speaking with Anthony, was saying, it's very much part of that reordering, that there was a realisation that what was done wouldn't last forever, but imagining it might well last 50 years. Well, it's a good 30 years, but I don't think 30 years ago anyone could have imagined the pace of change that there has been. And just the way the world is different, the way we operate, the way we communicate, the sort of things we do and the sort of ministries that come. So the first thing I want to do is to honour those of you who were here then, who gave sacrificially, who forewent holidays, who chose to delay starting families, who gave. I heard, it's going to embarrass Jenny, I heard Jenny, as a young girl, offered her hamster up for sale to communicate this. This is part of the church folklore. That's true. Do you remember that, Jenny? Well, apparently you did. So we've obviously been healed of the trauma, which is great. But this was. There are some fantastic stories. Now, if you weren't here in those days, ask the people who were here around and just get the stories out. Because this church, a generation ago, learnt an awful lot about trusting God, about faith, about risk, about unity, about a sea change. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is that what we were proposing to be doing is not in that league. We were proposing something much smaller. 3 years ago in the PCC, we wondered if it was time to look at reordering as a number of the ministries were growing again. And we asked those involved with Fabric Group to come up with ideas for how we might develop the building for the next stage. And we just didn't get anywhere. We thought there were lots of various thoughts. I remember one of the things I learned at that time was that where the men's loo is back there, that if we open it up again, there are stairs that go down to where Quench is now. And you thought, well, that would be interesting, as access to Quench is often not easy when there's stuff going on in the hall. So there were ideas like that that came out. But we just didn't get anywhere. We ended up a bit paralysed. It's all too big. We can't think about what offices we need, what children's rooms we need. It didn't go anywhere. And with hindsight, I think that's probably because it wasn't the right time. I think the Lord just didn't let us go anywhere. So last year on PCC, I still had the sense that we needed to move on with looking at how we develop. Not least I'm aware that a number of the ministries were saying it would be so much easier to do ministry if we could use this space more fully during the week. So we decided on PCC to look at, if we can't do the whole thing, it's too big, let's just look at this area, the discrete area that we worship in. Let's consider if it's the right time to remove the pews, to put chairs in, to make this space usable for a wide variety of other things through the week, as well as on the more formal occasions. October, I think it was, last year, we had a first priority meeting where there's certainly more than there are here tonight. It wasn't a freezing. And we asked folks to prayerfully consider what ministry and mission could be developed if this space was developed, what could be done. We didn't give a steer. It was a blank piece of paper. I gather there's a little bit of folklore from those who weren't at that meeting that there was a questionnaire and some people wrote the answers no on it. There wasn't a questionnaire. It was a blank bit of paper without a steer. And we had half an hour of just praying quietly. And there was an overwhelming sense on all but one of the pieces of paper that came back saying, we think it may be time to take the pews out and have chairs to release ministry for these, as well as various other ideas with the balconies and lights and so, and PA and all sorts of other things as well. So the PCC, after that, took that as a steer, and we looked seriously, saying we think this is probably a right time to move on with this discrete area. So we commissioned a reordering group to look at how to reorder the worship area. Some of you will have been at that first priority meeting, probably this meeting a year ago, I think. We were in the lounge and we all gathered around them and prayed. There were probably 50 or 60 folks there and prayed into them. Rachel Wiratunga and Dave Gorton and Richard Duxbury and Gerald and at the time Martin King and Joe Lockyer. Martin. And we prayed into them for the Lord to give wisdom and insight. And it was deliberately weighted towards a younger clientele looking at the next generation. Gerald was delighted to be in that group, I remember. It'd be called as part of a younger team. I remember the smile on it. And we asked the group to look at how we might reorder this area and anything that directly affects it. Because what we don't want to do in the PC, what we don't want to do is have to redo stuff years later. And that group has worked incredibly hard, talking to lots of different people and users of the building and different things. And various people have given input to that, some via, we put in the notice sheet, anybody wants, got thoughts, write them to Joe Lockyer via, and we'll feed them in. And a number of people did that and engaged with it. And the group came up with lots of really very good, healthy ideas, including if we go for chairs, which seemed to be a sensible thing. And I want to explain some reasons why that was. The idea of perhaps chopping back the dais so that we could get more chairs in the round here. So while you can't cram people onto pews if you haven't got them, we have more chairs up this part. But in thinking about how it knocks onto stuff, the group said, but that knocks into the lounge, and there's a sense of how to use the lounge space better, and maybe it's right to move the dividers to the front of the balcony and to create more, if we're filling up down here, we want to use the balcony better, but if you sit in the balcony and look, you can't look this way, you can't see the congregation. So what about a glass front to the balcony so you don't have that metal bar or the wood blocking you off? There are all these ideas, and then where does the entrance come? And then a lot of the ideas we're thinking of doing in here involve catering for meals and so on. Well, the kitchen really needs some attention, doesn't it? And at the same time, from the current users of Tiddlywinks and so on, we've got 160 families using Tiddlywinks every year and more, saying, look, the toilets just need help. Don't worry about this. That's vital. And it slowly grew. And what we'd said on PC was, let's just look at this area as a discrete area and worry about everything else later. Actually, we thought, as soon as you go past the back pews, that's impossible, because everything else does knock into it. And then in the three meetings I had over the last month, where we had about 60 people together, a 12, a 14, and a 35 we had at the different times, there was a strong sense that it is as important, some would say more important, to do stuff that end as this end. And then for the conversations that went around that, we brought to PCC things that had been fed in and said, well, maybe it is time to look afresh at the use of the whole building. Now, 3 years ago, tried to do that and we got nowhere. I think if it had come fresh to PCC this week, let's look at how we use the whole building, I think my heart would have sunk. Said, in a time of recession and difficulty, you've got to be joking. But in fact, if we're to do the discrete areas, including this one and that, we need to know how it fits together for the whole thing. And I think those who represented that to us have a wisdom. So what I'd like you to pray into is, if you think that's right, that we look at the whole thing. And I want to go through this very quickly, because I do want us to get into praying for that. I have here a sheet of paper, which one of the things that was represented to us was that some folks can see very clearly why we're suggesting that the pews go and chairs come. Some folks can't see why it's needed at all. And I've got here the reasons that we looked at on the PCC. So that last year's PCC said we thought this was what we needed to do. The new blood on the PCC this time said, is that right? Can we look at the reasons? So we had a piece of paper that looked at the reasons, and in the light of that, the PCC was clear we wanted to do this. And I'm just going to pass these back. Please take one, and I'm going to whip through this and try and do it in 5 minutes, just to put into the pot, as it were, why we were so concerned to do this area, though what we're now suggesting is that actually we look at the whole. Okay, so it's not a cleverly done thing. It's just a whole load of stuff which I'm going to whip through. And I'd love you to ask, if you're not sure about any of this, to ask the people who are involved in these ministries. So, there are, for example, there are first priority prayer meetings and other gatherings where it's helpful to break into smaller groups. At present, we fill the lounge. When we use the main worship area, it's harder to split into groups to pray. Similar dynamic for the Oasis Thursday women's group as that grows. At the moment, they can cope in the lounge. If it goes on growing at this rate, it seems likely it won't be long till they can't cope in the lounge, and they need a bigger space. Let me just introduce this. The bit at the top says, we often need a bigger space where you need the PA and the visuals and the warmth where the hall's not appropriate, or we need a big space when the hall's being used by someone else. And second bullet point, you get events with prayer stations where you need space to move around, so things like streams in the desert, or when we've done a labyrinth, when we've done alternative or youth worship events, Easter and Christmas worship events for Tiddlywinks, where there's just wanting to use the space more. As Alpha grows, at the moment Alpha's fine in the lounge, but as it grows, that's not going to be big enough for the meals and the worship and the discussions. Marriage and parenting courses. This is a major thing we're really wanting to lean into with the growth in families ministry. It's one of the things God's blessing, but there's so much need to develop marriage and parenting stuff, and a lot of those courses work best around meals, that actually to be able to do more meals and give time to that, we need more space. Occasional things like holiday clubs and children's events, Easter craft morning light party, holiday at home for older people, attracting more people, how to set it up. If Cafe Create were to grow, and with Simon coming giving it fresh injection, it may well do to have a bigger flexible space. Passover meals. Some of you remember we've had Passover meals in the lounge. We managed up to 90 in the lounge. We once tried the hall and crammed 130 in. It was much harder. But a Passover meal is a fantastic occasion for a whole church. Okay, it's not every week, but we could get a lot more if we could use this space more flexibly. And a sort of summary of that, that as the church gets bigger, there are lots of meeting events for 30 to 80 that have used the lounge as it is, that need a bigger space that's more flexible. Then you get guest events and parties like Create for Christmas. So last year, I know that they were crammed into the area at the back for the talk. I think thinking about using this whole area tomorrow, because this is bigger than the lounge, but again, it'd be so much easier to have a more flexible space, or the Easter chocolate guest events. Then you get stuff that goes wider, the number of things we do together with other churches in the town, of day conferences or listening to God conferences, where the Baptist church, which has chairs, is smaller than we want, the All Saints is, the acoustics are terrible and so on, and renting the town hall hasn't worked brilliantly, we would be able to provide a wonderful facility for the church in the town. There's a comfort factor that actually it's the pews are designed for a previous generation where a lot of folks are the wrong size and they're actually uncomfortable. It's hard to listen to the word of God or other things. Welcome, accessibility and safety. It always pains me deeply that Pauline, for example, on her wheelchair, can't sit in the main body of the church. She can't sit in the main aisle for health and for safety fire reasons, so she's always around here. She takes it graciously. Folks come and sit with her, which is great. But it's not ideal, really, that folks aren't able to just feel fully, they can be right in the centre of the heart of all that's going on. And then you get sort of the way we participate, that if we could be more flexible, church done in the round, coming here, you tend to get, actually transforms the worship as well. So those sorts of reasons. So there's a short summary there. There's lots of meetings where the lounge is no longer big enough or soon won't be. Okay, we can cope at the moment, but as it's growing, we need to think ahead. That there are more guest events and courses. We're wanting to do more, particularly marriage and parenting things, but lots of others as those. And times where flexibility is needed and for welcoming inclusivity. Sorry, that's about half an hour talk done in 5 minutes. But because I'm not asking you to decide on that, I just wanted to share that and throw that out there to be chewed over. In looking at that, and that's why the PCC said, let's do this area, we're convinced. Whereas we can't just do this area. So we've got some blank bits of paper. Can we get those out? Naomi's got some blank bits of paper and some pens. And we're going to take 10 minutes or a quarter of an hour. Simon's going to come and play some angel music for us in the background. If you don't know what angel music sounds like, you soon will, as Simon plays for us prophetically. And I'm going to ask that you listen to the Lord and put down on your paper anything you think that he might be saying. Now, obviously, those of us who have a particular investment in any area of the church, whether it's the toilets or the kitchen or this area, it's very hard to discern what's us and what's the Lord. But he may well give you a picture or a word, or you may have a strong sense of something. Do you think it's right that we look at the whole thing? Do you have a peace about that as we pray? Do you think we ought to be doing this area? Do you think there are particular bits you think we should be doing? Do you think we're wasting our time totally and the Lord's saying, forget it, the building's fine, just get on with the ministry? What do you think the Lord is saying? But particularly the question, and this is the one I'm going to ask that the Lord guides into, is it the right time to have a big look at the whole use of the whole plant before deciding on any area? That's the main thing. Okay. So, Father, we praise you for the way you've guided this church down the years. We praise you particularly for Thomas Bromley and the crew that built this all those years ago. We praise you particularly for the church here a generation ago that did that extraordinary reordering, and for the mission and ministry we've been able to do since then. And we dare to pray that as we wait on you in silence collectively, that you would indeed speak. It's your will that we want. It's your timing that we want. We want you to be glorified. We want this building to enable the ministry you're calling us to do. So would you send your spirit, give words, give pictures, give a sense of peace, give a sense of particular things we should do, and help us to write those down in a way that we can weigh helpfully. So come and guide, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take just a couple more minutes to write down any thoughts that you've got, anything the Lord said, or that you think he might have done. And if you could put your name with it, then if there's something we need to ask you about more, just to explain further, then we'll get back to you about that. So as we weigh those and just see whether there's anything particular, that'd be really helpful. Just a couple of minutes. Pop down on the paper anything you've been thinking. Father, how we thank you for such a great group of men and women, for the unity and laughter and serious discussion and a healthy disagreement of ideas, in trying to seek your will through on a whole range of things. And we pray your blessing on our PCC in trying to steer this church through this as well as every other major decision. We pray you'd gift us with wisdom from above. Prevent us from running ahead of you. Prevent us from lagging behind you. And we dare to pray that future generations will look back on this season in the history of St. Paul's, just as we can look back a generation and thank you for the faithfulness and vision and courage of the people of God at the time. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we, we've got a couple more things we're going to pray, but they're not going to take too long. Can we pass those bits of paper? What would be the best way to, Lizzie, could you collect them from the ends of the rows if they pass to the end of the rows? We're going to, I want to sort of bring into this prayer time two or three more things that we're going to sort of just hold before the Lord. So first of all, Anne Bench. We've been praying, we've been praising God for Holiday at Home and the way the Lord spoke to Anne back in February or whenever it was, or back in February. And I know there's been an awful lot of sadness at the fact that we felt lunch, it was right for Lunch Club to come to an end, and I probably personally have had more flack over that than anybody else, but we sensed it was the right thing. And we've been praying that the Lord would bubble up the ministry he wants us to develop among those of more mature years, as well as others. And Anne has been meeting with a fine group of people for a while now, and just an idea that's been bubbling up that we thought it'd be good if Anne shared with you.
Yes. I spoke to about 27 people last week after the midweek service, and I presented them really with like a mini Holiday at Home once a week, once a month. And afterwards, I just felt that wasn't right. And I felt quite disturbed, really, because those people that were there were people who'd contributed so much to St. Paul's in the past. They'd given years and years of service. They'd helped to build this church up to what it probably is today. And they felt bereft because these lunch clubs had disappeared, and that was their only little bit in the whole church program for older people. And I just felt they needed ministering to. They needed loving and building up. And so I met on Monday with, there were seven of us, people who'd been involved with Holiday at Home, plus Brenda and Bobby Robinson and Shirley Crook. So there were seven of us. And we prayed it through and we chatted. And we've come up with an idea that we'll have an initiative starting on January the 12th. And it's for people, not just retired people, but anybody who's free on a Wednesday morning who would like to come to the midweek service and stay on afterwards till about 2 o'clock. We hope to have a simple meal. We may discuss things that went on in the service. We don't quite know what else, because we're going to ask people what they want as well. And then also, possibly starting in March, we thought we'd have an afternoon meeting on, I don't know, Thursday or Friday perhaps, for 2 hours, where we'll link up with the people we met through Holiday at Home, plus any who want to go from the Wednesday meeting. That'll be more of an outreach. So basically, we want to just build up the ones who already come, and encourage them to reach out to others. And it's starting on January the 12th with a fish and chip lunch on the house. So
I love this. We're just going to have a simple lunch. We're starting with fish and chips, and then we'll see where it goes. It'll be medium rare the following week or whatever it is. Now, we're going to just pray in twos and threes. So if you're a two or for a three, will you pray into this? So there's a great group that meets midweek service, staying on afterwards for fellowship, inviting people into service and lunch, and building up that group to reach out to others who are around in the daytime of whatever age.
Oh, and we're planning to call it Cameo. Come and meet each other. It's not original, but
does what it says on the
Yes, team. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, so twos and threes. So let's just pray into that briefly, and Anne and I will pray up here. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Last thing that I want us to think ahead to, so that's looking into next year. I'm absolutely thrilled that there's been a bubbling up of the fellowship after the midweek service. And that just seems to be a natural extension to me of how that's grown into lunch and developing through it. So praise God for all of you guys involved in that. Clearly one of the most remarkable things that's happening in the life of our church is the above expectation growth in young families. We thank God for our different youth ministry, our older people's ministry, men's ministry. But there is something that is just above all we might expect in the number of young families. 160 families in Tiddlywinks, that's 80 on Mondays and Tuesdays. Obviously over 200 families at the school that we're in increasingly good relationship with. We had 120 children here on a Sunday morning 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago, whenever it was, on a normal Sunday. For the group that's now called Oasis, that there's, I don't know how many it is, nearly 40 women, mostly mums, not obviously all here at the same time, but growing. That didn't exist 4 years ago, that group. You know, you just think that's great. Now, Mark Piers has sensed God's call for him to stop as treasurer at the next annual meeting in order to invest into the men and the dads. And so PCC's releasing him to do that, and we're praying for the next treasurer. But we're really wanting to invest into the parents of these children and the marriages across every age, right up to as old as Lewis and Angela and beyond. You know, that it's never too late to keep investing. We're going to give them gold medals in April for 50 years, but there's a longer beyond as well. So what I'd like us, and next year, we've done various marriage and family time courses in homes, and there was a family time course in the hall. But one of the things we long to see is loads of marriages and parents learning God's principles for family, and that growing. So next we're going to be running a main marriage course and family time course in the church next year. And I'd just like you to pray into that together, that in a society where so many folks don't know how to do marriage and family, that we as a church really invest into that. It's not the only thing we invest in, but it's something God's bringing to us. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're all going to pray out loud together, because it's a few minutes since we did that. So let's pray all out loud together into parenting and marriages. Father, and all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We pray in his strong name. Amen. Thank you, folks, ever so much for coming out on a dangerously cold evening. At least that pavement out there is. If you want to ask Jenny more about her.